Let's turn, shall we, in our Bibles to 2 Kings, chapter 4. We're going to read the first 7 verses. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's just bow, shall we, in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we look at this portion of your word, we do pray that you would teach us what you would have us know this morning. We once again thank you for each mother that's here, and we do pray that you would be a special blessing to them today. But to each of us, we do pray that we might hear you speaking and that we might respond according to your desires. Speak to our hearts, we pray, for we ask it in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Mother's Day, a special day. And as I was thinking of this morning, I thought, well, let's look at a mother this morning and see if we can't learn some lessons from her. And I was looking at this particular passage, and I think there are some tremendous lessons, really, in here for each of us. As I look at this passage, I discover, firstly, that there was a realization by this mother that she must pay her debt. She must pay her debt. She realized that. You see, there was a calamity that had happened. You notice what it says, the last phrase in verse 1. It says, And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. Now this woman obviously had a real deep concern about her children. And that's what most mothers have, isn't it? But there was a calamity here. You see, we discover that this woman was in debt. She owed her creditor. As I was thinking of that, I thought of the fact that each of us are debtors, aren't we? Each of us owe You see, because we are sinners and in debt to God. Romans 3 and 23, a very familiar verse, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Romans chapter 6, we find the wages of that sin, because in verse 23 it says, "The wages of sin is death." And so you see, we stand before God, each one of us, because of our sin, as debtors to Him. We owe Him, big time. We owe Him our very lives. And because all of us are sinners, and I'm sure if each of us are honest with ourselves and look into our own hearts, we realize right away that we have sinned. We have done things we know that God is not pleased with. We discover that the result of that is death. Eternal separation from God. Now some would say, well, you know, I've sinned, but I haven't died yet. I wonder if that didn't go through Adam and Eve's mind in the garden when they sinned. You remember? They were standing there and God said they could eat any tree, the fruit of any tree in the garden. And Satan came along and said, "Did God really say that? Did really God say that in the day you eat it, you'll die?" And Eve started to have a few doubts, didn't she? And so she took of that fruit and she ate, and she gave to her husband, and he ate. He knew what he was doing, according to the Word of God. She was deceived, but he knew. But in doing so, both of them sinned against God. Now, God didn't strike them down right then and there. It appears. And maybe they looked around and said, "Well, you see, we really didn't die. God doesn't really mean what he says." But I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that God does mean what he says. And death is the result of sin. And we owe God. We're a debtor to him. And this woman finally came to the point where she realized she had a debt. And as a result of that debt, she was in danger of bondage. And her two sons were in danger of bondage. You see, when we think of our situation before God, we are in danger of bondage too. In fact, we are not in danger of bondage, we are in bondage. In bondage to sin and the law. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 6, specifically verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" You see, we're slaves. And Paul says in that chapter, he says, listen, If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a slave to Satan and to sin and to the law. But if you accept Christ as Savior, then you should be a slave to God. But he says in either case, you're a slave. And so you see, really, the issue is, whose master are you? Or who's your master, rather? Is it Satan? Or is it God? That's the only choice. And so this woman realized she was in debt, and she realized that she was in danger of her sons going into bondage. What a calamity. But you know, we find that there was a cry in here. Notice what it says at the first. It says, now there cried a certain woman. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. That's great. Why is it great? Well, because she came to the right person. You know? She cried out for help and she came to this man of God. Notice in verse 7, it says there, then she came and told the man of God. Who's that? That's Elisha. Now, throughout Scripture, we find many who didn't cry to the right people when they had a problem. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? That great king of Babylon. One day he had a dream in Daniel chapter 2. And it kept him up all night. And so the next morning he decided to call in his staff. And he called in all the soothsayers and brilliant men, the wise men of his kingdom, and brought them all in. And he said, tell me the dream, and then tell me its interpretation. He went to the wrong place. Sometimes we go to the wrong place, don't we, to get answers. You see, it's only a man of God that can point us to God. It's only Christ that has the answer. Sometimes we decide that it's education. Education doesn't have the answer. Our society today really throws that around. Education is not the answer. We think of other things. Some people will donate to the local church, feel that they can do that sort of thing. And others will do activities, some good works, whatever that means. Because God says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God says none of it is any good, folks. You have to come to the right person. Where do we go in time of trouble? It's interesting, as we think of Daniel, we think of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, twice over he went to the wrong place to get help. In chapter 2 and in chapter 4. Didn't learn his lesson. And then his grandson did the same thing. Finally, they had to call in the man of God, Daniel, to find out the right answer. Do you go to the right place for help? The Word of God has the answers. And Christ is the answer that the Word of God promotes. Well, as she came to the man of God, she had a complaint, and that was that thy servant, my husband, is dead. You see, death takes its toll, doesn't it? It was a result of this. She didn't have somebody to help pay her debt. She was totally hopeless in her situation. And that's exactly how we are in regards to sin, isn't it, in ourselves? We're totally hopeless. Ephesians 2 and 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Totally hopeless. Now you look at that and you say, well, that's cause for despair. What's the sense? It's hopeless. Well, you see, it's hopeless in ourselves. But as we said, she came to the man of God. What a commendation is here as we look at what she says. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. You see, even though this prophet, her husband, feared the Lord, it didn't help her situation. You know, it doesn't matter whether our partners know Christ as Savior, or our parents, or our children, or anyone else that's related to us. You see, this is an individual thing when we talk about salvation, isn't it? It's an individual thing. And you have to deal with that on your own. But I suggest to you that thankfully, because her husband was such an upright man, she knew where to go for the answer. The Lord has graciously brought you here this morning. We're here to tell you where the answer is. There was a realization she must pay her debt. The other thing that I notice as I go in verse 1, she had the right attitude regarding paying her debt. The right attitude. Some people know they're sinners, but they just block everything else out and they don't take the right attitude. This woman took the right attitude. First of all, she considered her situation. She knew she was in a hopeless position. And she knew she couldn't do anything about it in herself. Isn't that the place we have to come to before God can work in our lives? We have to realize that there is nothing that I can do or that you can do to gain eternal life. Nothing. And then, as we've emphasized already, she came to the man of God. She came to the right person. And we need to come to Christ. Now, it's interesting that the man of God said, what are your resources? The resources for paying the debt. Notice what she says in verse 2. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Nothing. This woman had obviously tried to solve her problem and had either used it up in her own consumption in order to stay alive, or she had sold it off in order to keep the debtor away a little longer. The creditor. And now she was at the end of herself. She didn't have anything. One pot of oil. Totally helpless. Totally hopeless. May I suggest to you that as far as our salvation is concerned, there is nothing that we have that we can bring. Not a thing. Well, we find then as we go on to verses 3 and 4, the requirements for paying the debt. She was to go, she was to borrow, she was to come, she was to close the door, and then she was to pour out. These were very specific instructions Elisha gave her. And her part was to obey those instructions. That's all. You know, the Lord gives us specific instructions too, as we read in the Word of God. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is in jail and suddenly there's a great earthquake and the prisoner, the jailer rather, comes before Paul and he says this in verse 30. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm hopeless. I'm helpless." You see, he deserved death if any of his prisoners had escaped. And he comes in and he says, "What do I do about it? How can I be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Very simple. You accept what Christ has done at Calvary, that he did it for you, and you accept the fact that that's going to cover and deal with your sin. And then the confession is made. You share that you've done that with others. That's all. Well, you say that's too simple. May I suggest to you that if it was any more difficult, none of us would have been able to do it. But it's that simple. In verse 5, we find her response to the pain, to paying the debt. And in verse 5, we read, "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out." She did exactly what she was told to do. She acted in faith and she obeyed. Now, had this ever been done before? Well, we're not aware of it. She just accepted what the man of God said, and she did it. And that's what simple faith is. That's what you have to do, is accept Christ, to accept Christ as your Savior, to be saved, to have your sin dealt with. It's just to accept it, to do it. Well, we discover as a result, there was a reservoir for paying the debt. Verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. In other words, it didn't disappear the next morning. It stayed. You see, when we accept Christ as our Savior, God gives us eternal life. It won't run out tomorrow. We won't lose it next week. Well, you say, that means you can live whatever way you want. No. God expects a change in your life. God expects you to live for Him. But when you accept Christ as Savior, it's for eternity. We'll never lose it. Then there was the results of paying the debt. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Why, what do we discover? Her debt is paid, and there's more to live on besides that. When God gives us salvation, that's what it's like. He brings us in and He gives us everlasting life, and He sets us free to do His will. Now, friend, I don't know where you stand this morning. But somehow I feel the Lord has you here this morning so you can hear about how you can have your sins forgiven. Those that know me know that I don't often preach the gospel so specifically as I have this morning. I think I'm more of a teacher than an evangelist. But God has laid on my heart to preach a gospel message this morning. And I suggest to you that maybe someone here needs to hear that. Is it you? The question is then, what are you going to do about it? Won't you come to Him, put your faith and trust in Him, and accept Him as your Savior? May it be so, for His glory. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You for each one who is here this morning. And we do pray that You would just take Your word and the story of this woman, this mother, who is concerned about her debt, and speak to each of our hearts, but especially those who don't know You as Savior this morning. We do pray that You would just draw them to Yourself. May it be so, for Christ's honor and for His glory. For it's in His name we ask it. Amen.